Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
And this afternoon, I want to notice some of those basic needs that we as parents have and how God has intended for them to be satisfied through the home. Now, number one, parents need each other. Some parents make the tragic mistake of concentrating their efforts and their affection on their children to the point that they almost exclude each other. For example, a wife may become so wrapped up in the number of things that need to be done, such as feeding the child, bathing, entertaining, and then once they reach school age, running here and there, being the typical soccer mom, to the point that she neglects the things that she once did to please her husband. She must not let preoccupation with being a mother make her forget that she's still a wife. So in addition to taking care of the needs of her child, she should also be sure that her house is relatively neat, that she looks attractive to her husband when he comes home, and that she still finds time to perhaps fix his favorite meal at mealtime. And fathers need some reminders on this point as well. The husband who once came home from work and greeted his wife at the door with perhaps a kiss on the cheek may, after the arrival of a child, breeze right past his wife at the door, rush to spend all of his time at home with the new child, or in front of the television, even worse. And fathers must not forget that they are still husbands. Unless husbands and wives are careful in this regard, children, instead of pulling them together, may pull them away from each other, and what ought to have been a blessing become a burden. You must remember that someday you and your partner will be right back where you started, just the two of you. And if you live only for your children, forget how to live for each other, you'll probably find it very difficult to be happy with each other. Some marriages, which are reasonably happy while children are growing up in the home, sadly, literally fall apart at the seams when the husband and the wife are left alone with each other. A husband and a wife should occasionally leave the child with perhaps a babysitter or with a relative and spend some time together alone. Go out to dinner or visit other married couples their own age. You won't be cheating your children by having a little free time together. In fact, you'll be making a good investment in your child's happiness. If he's able to judge that his mother and father really love each other, really enjoying being with each other, that child's own happiness and security will grow. Remember that parents have needs and they need each other. But number two, parents need the obedience of their children. Obedience to parents has always been a part of the will of God for children. Solomon wrote, "My son, keep the commandment of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother," Proverbs 6, verse 20. And later the Apostle Paul put it this way in Colossians 3, verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord." Christ himself set an example of obedience to parents in that, as a child, he was subject unto Mary and Joseph, Luke 2, verse 51. Now, I realize that these commandments to parental obedience sound arbitrary to young people, but there are many sound reasons behind this responsibility. In the first place, parents know more than their children, in spite of the children perhaps doubting that at times. Young people don't always understand it, but there are some things that are learned only with age and experience. So even though a high school student may already have more years of formal education than perhaps a father or mother in some cases, that's no reason to suppose that he's smarter than his parents. Many of the things that parents know aren't learned from a book. Young people, you won't always agree with your parents, and you'll think that they just don't understand, but you must submit to their judgment, and almost without exception, you'll eventually realize that they were right. So another reason for obeying one's parents is for the sake of their happiness. Parents make tremendous personal sacrifices in trying to make their children happy, and it's foolish and ungrateful for a child to not return that parent's love by being obedient. There's no sure and faster way to break the heart of your parents than to be disobedient, to be rebellious, and to not listen to them. Proverbs 17, verse 25 said, A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. So young people, think very seriously before you do anything that will hurt your parents. The day that you break your parents' heart will turn out to be the saddest day of your entire life. You'll suffer pain of heart of yourself for your actions, because whereas God used to put a disobedient child to death, now he forces that child to live with his conscience. Now, number three, as we think about the needs of parents, parents need the honor and the respect of their children. Very close to their obedience, but honor and respect. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Paul admonishes in Ephesians 6, verse 2 and verse 3. Honor is a greater virtue than mere obedience. It would be possible to have obedience without honor, but I believe impossible to have honor without obedience. Even after children are grown, have families of their own, they need to continue to honor their parents. And if their parents are no longer with them, to honor the memory of their parents. Respect for parents is considered the prime virtue in Chinese culture. And although the principle is carried to perhaps extreme, as evidenced by ancestor worship, we could learn some important lessons from them in this regard. Nowhere does modern American society show more weakness than in the area of respect for parents. And it's quite common to hear sometimes the father being spoken of disrespectfully and the mother being disrespectfully referred to. And perhaps they don't intend to show disrespect for their parents by using some language that's actually disrespectful of them. They do. And it would appear that the art of asking permission from one's parents has been lost. Children now tell their parents that they must have so-and-so, or that they are going to do so-and-so. And parents, you must remember that respect for parents is a two-way street. To be honored, you must live honorably. To be sure that you're a faithful Christian who deserves respect of your children before trying to demand it from them. Children, especially young ones, want to know why you demand certain things of them. If you tell them that it's none of their business, or just because I said so, it may make it hard for the child to respect and to give the obedience that he wants to give. So to have honor, be honorable. And then number four, as we think about the needs of parents, parents need the courtesies of their children. I realize that this is very closely related to the matter of respect and obedience, but I believe it deserves a separate mention. For some reason, current customs do not emphasize courtesy by younger people to their elders. A young man may drive his mother to the grocery store, and when the shopping's completed, he runs out and starts the car, and he's ready to leave without assisting her. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but I don't believe that kind of behavior is right. And if parents are not teaching courtesy to their children and demanding that they be courteous to others, you can see some very rude behaviors when you're out in public. And it may be that one is showing as an adult their raising, as we would say, but children need to be courteous. Courteous to elders, courteous to their parents. And isn't it sad that when perhaps one would be courteous to a stranger, would not even be courteous with his own family? Parents need the courtesies of the children. And then number five, parents need some of their children's time. Young people seem to have an ability to find something to do every night of the week to take them out of the home. There are ball games, there's pep rallies, there's scout meetings. There's all kinds of practice and dozen things to occupy their time through the week. Then Friday and Saturday night are date nights. Sunday afternoon is spent hanging around with some of the other teenagers. And it would seem that spending time at home is a forgotten virtue anymore. Your most important responsibility is to make a positive contribution to a happy and a successful home. You can't do that by letting everything else come first. And if you have too many things to do, drop some things to be able to have some time with family. Young people complain, "My parents don't understand me." Do you give them a fair chance to know you, to know your taste, to know some things about you? Or is it that they're demanding too much of you? and they've scheduled too much. It's a two-way street here as well. Just as children have needs, and those needs can be met in the home, parents as well have needs. And all of us have the greatest need, that of surrendering ourselves to God, to be obedient to His will, to surrender our will to His will, to accept the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and upon that knowledge to repent and turn away from sins, to confess the sweet name of Jesus, to be buried in Christ, to be baptized, to have our sins washed away, to be Christian parents before our children. Or if we've strayed from the way, to repent of that and confess that we have sinned and ask God for forgiveness, to seek to be the best parents, because our world is in such great need of Christian parents.